Our final section brings us back to the sovereignty and care of God Himself and the leading of the Holy Spirit. As we seek to be salt in the world, we need to bear in mind two things. Firstly, that the kingdom of God is built as we obey Jesus, listen to the Spirit's leading, and operate in the power of the Spirit and not in our own strength. And it's not always easy to listen to the Spirit and hear His voice. And I suppose that in Jesus' day, there must have been thousands who never had the opportunity to hear Him or to be healed by Him. And we do see Jesus saying to His disciples, "No, we're not going to go over there, we're going to go over here. Those are the people I want to preach the gospel to." He resisted the demands of the crowd, and we know that He withdrew to lonely places and often prayed all night, seeking the Father's will. And one way that we can lose our saltiness is when we spread ourselves too thinly and do things God never wanted us to do. So that's the first thing. And we need wisdom and guidance from the Spirit. Secondly, if we're going to prioritize Jesus and His kingdom above all else, we have to trust in Him to provide. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and with what He requires of you, and God will provide you with all these other things." And undoubtedly, in this church of Holy Trinity Springfield, there are people giving sacrificially, enabling God to provide. And that's a very wonderful thing, people who've taken to heart the priorities of Jesus and who've also trusted Jesus in their giving. And one of the things that Jesus did in His ministry on earth was to receive donations and keep a purse which was used to supply the needs of the poor. And we were running out of money for that purpose last year. We were blessed with two big gifts, which I mentioned this morning, for Super Kids and for the evangelism account, which funds our work with the neediest. Without those two things, both Super Kids and our work with the neediest would have been in trouble. And I wanted just to go into a little bit more detail about a lady who's been coming to our church for a number of years. Came over from Nigeria with her daughter, and while she was over here, her sister died, leaving at that time a four-year-old son. And so the four-year-old son became part of her household and the household of her mother. They were living together in a flat on the Ferrier estate. And the little boy, having tragically lost his mum, very much took to, I'll call her Anna, this lady, as his mum, and she absolutely treated him as her own. Sadly, a little while later, about a year later, her mum died, and so she was left on her own with her own child and this orphaned nephew. And the council allowed her to take over the tenancy. But in their desire to move people out of the block that she's in, because it's been condemned by the fire brigade as unsafe, work has not been carried out that should have been carried out, they looked for reasons to evict people. And they discovered, firstly, that she was in rent arrears because she has no recourse to benefits and is not allowed legally to work until she has leave to remain. And then they looked at her immigration status, and although the border agency is reconsidering her application for leave to remain, her status is one where leave to remain has been rejected. And so they presented all that to the county court in an attempt to evict her. managed to find her a solicitor who does legal aid, who employed a barrister, and she was given a reprieve. The judge found in her favour. She was allowed to remain in her flat. The consequences of not being allowed to remain there were quite likely that the boy, who was a British subject, would have been taken into care, and she and her daughter might well have ended up in one of those hostels where they await a UK border agency decision. Both of those children are at school and getting on well with their studies locally. So it would have been a very disruptive thing. And the little boy in particular, having lost his mum and attached himself to his aunt, would have been devastated and scarred. And so, thanks to these gifts, and I received another very generous, kind gift today to help her, we've been able to keep her going, to make up shortfalls in her rent, because if she falls behind with those payments, the council can just take her back to court and say she's not complying with the court order. This is a lady who really believes in God, who prays with great faith, but who's faced the most incredible series of worries. She's still waiting for the UK border agency. And that's one example of how the generosity and kindness of Christians has enabled us to help those in real need. And we must be thankful to God, who's moved people to do that by his Spirit. And we must trust him for the future. Be guided by him and trust him. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Do not worry." And it's easier said than done. I'm sure we've all found that. He doesn't say, don't take action, doesn't say, don't be sensible, but he does say, do not worry. And it's one of those things that we need to try and set aside, and as we experience God's love and as we know God's love, then we must know that he not only understands our needs, but desires to meet them in his sovereign and almighty power. And so our last prayer section is about the Holy Spirit's wisdom in how to prioritize. It's a thank you to God for all his provision, the provision that comes through Christians in this church, the provision that comes through in other ways, and a request, a trusting request to God to provide for the new work that's starting up in the estates near to the Ferrier estate, the Middle Park and Brook Lane estates, and the Page estate. Thank you, Anne.
Now let us pray again.